How did the audience react so far on your novel, like both Northern and Southern Nigerians?
For the people in the North, for those who have read the book, I think they realized that what I attempted to do with the story is to capture the way they live and the issues that make them live the way they do. And they understand that, yes, even though they are sensitive to the portrayal of sex and other graphic details in literature and everything that has to do with the North, I think they respect that it was done with artistic candor. It wasn't done for the sake of being explicit or to denigrate them. And I think they really appreciate that. You know, I've had feedback from people who say, well, you know, this is our culture, these things happen. No matter how much we want to pretend they don't, they actually do. And for me, that is the greatest compliment I think I've had from the people of the North. From people in the south of Nigeria, a lot of them have given feedback and said, you know, it's like you're portraying a completely new world to us, even though we're the same country, we're the same people, essentially. But the difference in culture and ideologies has made these different parts of the country so distinct that you think that they are completely different countries entirely. So it was a bridge to the south, and it is a mirror for the north, and that was important.
Please tell us a bit more about your protagonist, Hajiya Binta.
For me, Binta represents the good people who have been very compliant to societal expectations, who have lived all their lives according to the dictates of society. But then at the same time, they are the ones who are most vulnerable to the anger or angst of society when it decides to, you know, express itself in the way it knows how to express itself best. So you have a woman who has been very good by all standards. You know, she obeyed her parents, married the man she didn't want to marry because society expects her to respect her parents, right? She lived according to the dictates of her husband, even though it wasn't according to her own expectations. I mean, the way he wanted to have sex, the way he wanted to have conversations. She made sacrifices for herself, for society, for everything. And then the moment she decides she wants to do something different from what society expects of her, that becomes a problem.
What does the title, The Season of Crimson Blossoms, mean?
It is essentially a season where things come to a head, where there's a blossoming of not only flowers, but of sentiments, of feelings, of emotions. So yes, it was, in the book, it was a season where politics comes to a head, where the relationship between Binta and Reza comes to a head, where Faiza comes to terms with herself, for instance. It's a season that is beautiful. And then beneath this beauty, there's so much pain and anguish and, you know, all those very painful emotions that the book captures.
The book ends with Binta's personal analysis of dreams. In your own acceptance speech, you were also talking about dreams. You said Nigeria is a place that suffocates dreams. How important do you think is it for young people to hold on their dreams, especially in an environment like Nigeria?
Very important. Very important. You know, Binta's life has been a dream all along, which she never got to express or enjoy because the society suffocated that dream, she has always had. You know, the system she grew up in suffocated all her dreams, and she lived. And then in her 50s, she wants this dream to come out, and still the society said, no, this is not going to happen. And they killed that dream. And it's the same thing with this country. You know, people dream, people have aspirations, they want to do great things. And people think they're being stupid or being ridiculous. We simply don't understand the importance of these dreams that people have and nurse and nurture. Because it is from these dreams that we transform not only ourselves, but our society.